Well, that was a fantastic song Carrie sang about the love of Christ and how powerful those words were. Reviewing last week's message, Jesus' tough love calls us to follow Him in all times and in all places, and in no excuses that the Bible gives us for not doing that. So that's a tough call that the Lord gives us, but He provides what He asks us to do. So following Jesus, you might say, and it says in the Bible, is more like the life of a soldier, more like the life of an athlete, the life of a farmer, the life of a very committed student, than the life of a kite flyer or cotton candy sampler or anything like that. It's a real call to give your heart 100% to Him. And being a Christian, it's an all or nothing relationship. And we certainly need God's help if we're going to respond to Him in that way. We cannot be a disciple of His unless He helps us to do that. So ask Him, you know, that His Spirit would fill us so we can follow Him the way we should. So it's an all or nothing relationship. Remember the quote by Robert Morgan, Jesus would rather have one person 100% devoted to Him than 100 people 90% devoted to Him. Because He asks us, hey, love the Lord your God all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. He's a very much an all your self Lord given over to Him. And remember the English missionaries who said, give up your small ambitions and follow the King. Okay, whatever you are into, it is small when compared to Christ. And there's a lot of great things to get into. A lot of wonderful things in creation. But if we put them above God, that's those things sour in our lives. That's idolatry. And to give up those small ambitions and follow the King. That's the call. And the call of Jesus, remember, is on everything we are, no exceptions. And we do that in other aspects of life, you know. That happens when a person gets married. You say, it's for you, dear, and they respond back. And we understand that. They forsake all others with God's help and give commitments and things. And if you work for McDonald's, you know, they say, we need your absolute enthusiastic service from 6 a.m. till noon or however long you work. So it's a part of who we are, part of who God made us to be, to give ourselves fully to those kind of commitments. And we shouldn't be shocked or shy away from Jesus when He does the same for our own souls. Okay, and for really who we are. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor in World War II, noted the unselfish call of the believer. Bonhoeffer was killed for his faith. He said, when Jesus calls a man to follow Him, He calls that man to come and die. You got the call to forget about yourself 100%. Certainly difficult to do. Jesus would say amen to that, and He did so in the gospel here in Luke chapter 9. The apostle Peter's given his first clear testimony about who the Lord is. And you can imagine how excited he is. Maybe you could put yourself in those shoes the first time you ever said, you know, to your own soul or to anybody else, Jesus is the Messiah. He's my Messiah. He's my Savior and my Lord. So Peter's doing that. And he's excited. Everybody else is excited for him. Jesus asks his followers, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ of God. These dear disciples were waiting for that news for centuries. So you can imagine they're looking, this truth, we sure do hope it's true. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, that's right. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. You didn't come up with that yourself, Peter. So that's a good thing for us to keep in mind. Whatever we know about God, He passed it on to us. We didn't come up with it ourselves. Okay, it gives us a chance to keep that one beggar showing another beggar where the bread is mentality. But right after that testimony, which was very exciting, Jesus turns to his followers and said, you know that the Messiah has to suffer, be rejected, be killed, and be raised. And he pretty much says, are you ready to follow me still? Okay. The leader is going to suffer, be rejected, be killed, and be raised. So if we follow Jesus, similar things are to be expected. And that's part of embracing who the Lord is. Okay? We receive His love, His joy, that's true. But the tough times seem to multiply when you follow Christ. That's a clear teaching of all the Gospels. And you look at Paul's life, you know, he was whomped on within an inch of his life many, many times. And so Jesus says to his followers, you and I and the disciples, if you would come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you seek to save your life, you will lose it. Even when Bob was reading that up there, I'm thinking, wow, you know. I wish maybe Jesus wouldn't have said all that. What good is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? And the disciples became very confused about that message. Suffer, rejected, be killed, be raised. You know, they were counting on some spiritual momentum in their lives and some outward success that Jesus would bring. Sometimes we have that expectation of the Lord. Hey, I'm a believer, Lord. Isn't blessing supposed to be flowing my way? You know, just one after the other? They do. Along with some very painful times when we're called to follow Him. You could picture, I picture myself in a church membership class. You know, we have the church membership class coming up in December. It's good to have church membership, I imagine. All that originated apparently based on the laws of Pennsylvania and things. Christians get together, you have to have a membership list or, you know, you can't call yourself anything significant. So, hopefully the point is to be committed to Christ and one another. But you picture yourself in a membership class, you know, you come and you sit down. And I remember first joining and I thought, I'm joining this group because I kind of like them and I like the music. And later on it was, you know, when I have children, I want them to go bowling with kids that don't have a bad influence on them. And that's why I become a church member, you know, just jump right in there. And then the leader of the church membership class says, you know, if you follow Jesus, you have to die daily. And you have to take up your cross and follow Him. And you're going to have to lose yourself. Totally. And you think, oh man, you know, can I pass on the next class and maybe not do that? But that truth changes us when we realize, hey, Christ is a, you know, He's talking to all our soul, all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. And He's calling us to put aside all ourself. And there's something that brings us to life when that occurs. That when we're called to suffer because we follow Christ, or be rejected in some manner, or die daily, or literally be killed, we know Jesus is worth it. We would rather die than not follow Jesus. That's what a Christian senses in their soul. And I think if you search your soul and if Jesus is in there, you'll say amen to that. I'd rather die than not follow Jesus. So that's when we really hear His good voice. Now the truth, that truth when Jesus said, for example, don't try to gain the whole world and lose your soul. That truth changed the heart of a man who was a big leader, Charlemagne. Happened to be reading about him recently. He was a French king in the 1700s. And I remember Charlemagne from grade school days because my parents bought me, Christmas time, you know, you think of gifts. They bought us boys history cards. We wanted football cards, but they gave us history cards. And the history cards had some great things. They were great people of history, American presidents, world leaders, Winston Churchill, Alexander the Great, Charlemagne was in there. And there was a portrait on one side of the card, and on the back it told about the person. Hopefully you get educated. But being boys, you know what we did with the history cards? We played war with them. Like you play war with a deck of cards. Some of you don't do that. That's okay. That's probably good. But, you know, if a jack beats a 10 and, you know, 7 beats a 2. Well, we played war with the history cards. And we had an agreement. This all has a point, by the way. We had an agreement that Charlemagne would beat everybody. Because Charlemagne's picture was tremendously fierce. He sat on a throne. He had a big crown on his head. I guess this is based in history. He had a sword in one hand. And he had a big old beard, and he had a big staff with a cross on top. And that was accurately picturing who he was. He was one of the first leaders in Europe in the 700s that had both political and religious power. And some of our minds are beginning to salivate when we think of that, right? He had religious and political power. And he was named, the Pope named him the Emperor on December 25th of a certain year. Highly symbolic. It was like, Charlemagne, you're almost like Jesus to us and to the whole thing. He did some good things. He conquered a lot of Western Europe. He brought the German lands to the west instead of toward Russia. He did bad things. He forcibly converted people. If you didn't believe in Jesus, he would baptize you on purpose. And if you still didn't believe in Jesus, then he would kill you. But when Charlemagne, after all that, when he died, he was buried in a silver and gold coffin, very ornate. You can find a picture of it on Google. And he was buried, I guess, at his request with his finger pointed to the passage that we read today. Particularly to the point, what good is it if a person gains the whole world and loses his soul? Apparently, after all that, you know, responsibility and success, Jesus broke through to Charlemagne. And he said, you know, I thought I had a lot of power, but Jesus has the power to change a life and to change a soul. And my life doesn't mean anything without him. I would gladly lose my life in order to gain it. I don't want to try to keep my life because then I'll lose it. So Jesus conquered Charlemagne. And if Jesus can conquer him, you know, he can conquer you and I and what we seek after as the most important things to us. What is the whole world you are trying to gain? Some of us have dreams, some are from God, some are not. What's the whole world we're trying to gain? Probably for most of us, it's just, you know, just give me a comfortable life with minimal problems and, you know, some cake once a week. That doesn't do our soul justice. In fact, that's more than what, you know, 90% of the world has. And sometimes we think, well, that's what I want from the Lord. What is the whole world you and I are trying to gain? We are made worshiping creatures. We either worship Christ or we worship self. So that's our two options. Try to save our life or lose our life to find it. When we worship self or try to save our life, we become self-centered, self-righteous, full of self-pity and self-destruction, and creates a lot of pain for ourselves. But when we look to Christ and say, I gladly surrender all to Him, our life becomes Christ-centered. We have not just our finger, our dead finger on the Bible, but we have our soul on the Bible, our mind on God's Word, and we are filled with gratitude and gladness. And following Jesus, what a calling. Radical rejection of all self-idolatry. as one man said. So being a Christian is giving up all rights to yourself. Very hard to do. You know, don't say, well, I can just decide that real quick and off we go. Make that surrender to God, but make that surrender each moment. George Mueller was an example of someone who did that. A simple Christian man, moderate abilities. They said, what do you want to do? He said, I don't know what to do. They said, you should be a pastor. So he went to be a pastor. And so he moderately preached to people, and, you know, he never was much of that. But he ran orphanages because he loved children with the compassion of Christ. And he had a commitment to do that with his whole heart and get resources in, but he didn't want to make resources the point. That was wise of him. And so God always provided, but he often went penniless while trying to help other people. That was just his way. He didn't make a big deal about it. That was just his way of saying, I'd be glad to lose my life to honor Christ. That was great impact on many, many people. And you can think of your life, someone said, you know, nobody ever made an impact on anybody else trying to live for their own comfort. It just didn't happen. So you extend yourself for Christ and for the sake of His dear loved ones out there, which is all people, and fantastic things happen. He said about his own self, he said, I gladly died, and it was no longer my desires or goals, but for me to live was Christ, and to die daily was gain. He put that daily in there. To die daily was gain. So you can think of yourself, you know, how are you going to be fulfilled this week? Well, who cares about whether you're fulfilled or not? But you look to Christ, and you find yourself being fulfilled. What a great example. Missionaries face that kind of life. They say, gladly put self aside for the sake of others. And they do have to, they come up against rough times. Here's somewhat of a truth. I think the number might be a little off. The message of Jesus, for example, illegal in about 50 countries, maybe 40 to 53, well, however it is. But that's what people face around the world who are following Him. And the toughest places to follow Jesus, you know, these missionary folks do study of it. Interesting, the list, because all these people are in the news on a regular basis. Toughest places to follow Jesus. Number one, Saudi Arabia. Believe it or not. One of our best friends. It's like, oh, we better talk to them about that. Saudi Arabia. Number two, Afghanistan, of all places. Well, we've been there for 11 years. China. Where are my socks, you know? Somebody made my socks over there. I wonder how they're doing following Jesus. When people do it, they have to do it very quietly, or they have to be kind of run by the government and what they do, and it's just a big mess. Iran and North Korea. Remember them? They get in the news once a year when their leader gets angry. But places that where people really have to say, okay, I give up everything to follow Christ. And it's, you know, according to the stats, about one quarter of the world is like that. And we're called to do that freely out of love for the Lord. But George Mueller, he was an example of somebody who said, yeah, I want to be a disciple. I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. Gladly surrender for Him. The other guy I picked was a music fella, George Beverly Shea, because of the song we'll close with. He was in music ministry for 60 years. He's 103. He's still living, you know, still living and able to communicate. But 60 plus years in music ministry. Now, it takes a lot for all the musicians, you know, it takes a lot. When you sing, you put your heart and soul into it, or play an instrument, or whatever it is. But his most famous song, that the first song he ever sang, first of all, was "I Will Tell the Wondrous Story of the Christ Who Died for Me." That was his first song ever, and he really liked it. And he was the one, by the way, who worked with Billy Graham, and he was the one who suggested to Billy Graham that at the end of every service, we all should sing "Just As I Am." And he actually told Billy Graham, when we're about to sing that song with the choir, you should tell people, as the choir sings, you come forward. All those ideas came from George Beverly Shea. So his heart was really toward people coming to Christ. But he wrote a mentality song, let's say an attitude song, a Luke chapter 9 song, and here's the words which we'll sing. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus, and then this is the chorus, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world has today. And when people heard that, they didn't say, oh, you know, baloney. I'm not going to try that. Millions have been inspired to say, this is a part of who following Jesus is. And don't look at it as a threat, you know, to our safety or anything. It's a noble call to follow the Lord no matter what. And wouldn't all of us like to be involved? We ask for God's help in doing that. We don't do it tritely. We don't do it by shaming one another into the walk. But we do it because we hear the voice of Christ. And so might we pray and ask him for help in this before we sing. Lord, we need your strength to follow you, and we're just like these disciples. When you tell us these things, we say, Jesus, tell me more about forgiveness and how much you love me, and this following stuff scares me to death. But might we know your strength, know your love, and gladly die daily and say, well, to live as Christ. And this is what we were made to do. This is what Adam and Eve experienced. And so we walk in your strength, and we leave the results to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.